Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for FriendsFantasyBenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm very, very good, my man. Our fantasy season is off to a very nice start with these previews and everything, and other sites doing well, and always good to talk to you, so that's always a good thing, too.
Yeah, it's we are, like, right in the thick of things. Someone told me, like, oh, man, it's got to be really hard, like, once baseball actually starts. This must be, like, you know, kind of the last dead time. I'm like, no, man, once baseball starts, things get a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, they do, so, right?
This is the hectic time of year where I'm trying to balance a million different things. But it's been pretty rewarding because the draft guide is number one on Amazon.
Repeat that. Say it again. I missed it.
The draft guide is number one on Amazon in the fantasy baseball section. So
hell yeah. Thank you to everyone that's bought it, and thank you to everyone that will. It's pretty cool to see that.
And the people who reviewed it, we have only 5-star reviews. It's been amazingly received. You can still get on Amazon an ebook for $7.50 or PDF if you email me, justinmasonfantasy@gmail.com.
What we should put in there? This is what you guys, this is what I'm here for, these good ideas. Mm-hmm. You know what we should do? We should do a staff mock draft and just kind of put it in the back.
Like a live mock draft?
Yeah, like we go on, we'll do like a...
Oh, into the back of the...
Get 15 of us together and we'll do like a slow draft and then we put the results and put them in the guide.
Yeah. That takes a lot of formatting that I really don't want to do.
It does. Yeah, no, so, it does.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But okay, you're an idea guy, and that's why we keep you around.
Yeah, ideas.
And your prospect knowledge, because we're talking about prospects today, and we're talking about a pretty good system in the Tampa Bay Rays.
Second best system in the game.
Ooh.
I
just heard Mike Warner up zip a little bit.
We just did the number 3 one in the Braves for fantasy. This is for fantasy, number 3 for the Braves. Number 2 is the Rays, and number 1, we've already done them, but we did the Padres. But the Rays, man.
Well, let's talk about them. Who's number 1 in your system?
The Rays. It's obviously Wander Franco, duh.
Yeah.
With what you get out of Wander Franco is, yes, he's a mile away being in barely touching A-ball last year, but... trying to pull up my notes real quick. I don't want to misspeak. But I put Wander Franco, like, he's probably not going to stick a shortstop. But does that really bother you? I mean, if he's going to hit, like potential Vlad Jr. upside?
Yeah, no, I don't worry about that at all. Especially today's fantasy.
He'll stick at second base anyways. So it's not like he's moving off the infield.
That may be, I mean, we'll see where we're at when he's actually up. But considering the depth at shortstop right now, I actually would prefer him, for fantasy at least, at second base. So
obviously it'll be like 3-4 years, years, so
things
might change,
can change, and things have changed drastically in the last 3 or 4 years. So
but let me look at Franco. Elite bat to ball skills, 351, 418, 571 triple slash, 11 homers, 4 stolen bases. Keep in mind he played advanced rookie ball, so his season was like 50 games, so I say 11 home runs, so like don't be discouraged by that. 236 ISO, 159 WRC plus. Walk rate was 9.9%, and his strikeout rate was 7%. Oh, and he was 17. Oh, and he doesn't turn 18 until March.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Are you sold? Do you need... you sold on him yet?
I mean, I couldn't imagine anybody not being sold on Wander Franco. Right. It's just a matter of like how long you're going to have to wait for him to... And a lot can happen. Like, you know...
Sure.
You know, we've seen unfortunate things where guys just, you know, their development stops or they get in trouble, you know, they get hurt.
Right.
So, I mean, you're hoping that as long as he's healthy and playing, he's going to be a monster.
Spoiler alert, he features prominently in our top 100 list in Prospects Live, too.
What?
He's going to be in the easy top 10. I'm not going to spoil it, but you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Number 2 for this list is a guy that I think a lot of people are forgetting about for a redraft this year. That's Mr. Brent Honeywell. He was all poised to probably be in the the Rays rotation in probably May last year, but he had Tommy John in spring training. So he probably won't pitch till May this year. And I expect him to probably join the Rays rotation in June. But you're looking at a guy with five above average pitches, some grade out as plus, above average command, really athletic delivery. He's throwing an throwing already off the mound. I saw him on Twitter throwing at Tropicana Field on the bump there. So he's throwing. Should be in game action by the beginning of May at least, and maybe up in the big leagues at the end of May, at the best case scenario. Obviously, you know, Tommy John, it's no guarantee that he makes it back to full strength, but I think nowadays it's better chance that he does than doesn't, as far from what it seems like. And Honeywell's most famous for that screwball, which is probably his fifth pitch, to be honest with you. He's got an advanced arsenal. If you wanna count the four seamer and two seamer as separate pitches, he actually throws six then. But it's a deep arsenal. He commands it all well. Honeywell is going to be one of the rare Ray starters that doesn't need an opener. But I wonder if they go to that right away. So that's always kind of the
alternative. Yeah, I would assume for redrafts for 2019 they're gonna treat him pretty carefully.
Right. So he's a guy, if you play in those draft and hold leagues, I think you need to grab.
I'm not a big Honeywell guy, but
I don't think the upside. As far as upside goes, I'm not. I don't think he's a number one. I don't think he's a number one starter, which I do think some people think he is. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a, you know, low to mid end number two or a very high number three. So I'll take that. Next guy, I'll go down to my list in order. Jesus Sanchez, corner outfield prospect. He's going to be a little bit lower on a real life list because he doesn't offer any defensive value except for his plus throwing arm. But he makes a ton of hard contact. I think he's a 280 hitter at peak, and he can probably hit 25 to 30 homers at peak. That's the kind of guy I think he is. He's got a real short, quick swing. 65 to 70 grade raw power with a 60 grade hit tool right now. He's a really good physical kid, strong wrist, really quick bat. He gets worked a little bit down and away with breaking pitches, and he has a tendency to keep the swing a little bit long. But if he stays mechanically compact, he's a dude, and he's just his biggest enemy is himself. He's young for the level. He was in Double A last year at 21, which for the Rays says a lot if they push somebody up at a young level, young age anyways, at an aggressive push like that. So I like Jesus Sanchez. My number five prospect, or number four in the system, sorry, Nate Lowe. You'll see why I'm confused by that. There's a couple L-O-W-E spellings in this system, but they're pronounced differently. This is Nate Lowe, Nathaniel Lowe, first base prospect. So I think a lot of people are going to be down on him for that reason, but he has a legit bat. Last year in AAA and AA, most of the season in AA, 330, 416, 568, 27 homers, 12% walk rate, 16% strikeout rate, hits from the left side. Really short, quick swing, just a hitter, flat out hitter. Hit over power profile, but still has plus power. So it gives you an idea of what we're looking at here. Finds the barrel naturally, does shorten up over two strikes, and will hit the ball the other way. He's a potential plus power guy that's not prone to the strikeout, which I feel like is a unicorn nowadays. Vidal Brujan is going to be my number five prospect in the organization, and he's a short left-handed hitting spark plug or switch hitting spark plug. Really good athlete, really quick bat, wiry build, good feel for the barrel, uses the all fields. His minors graph page is a thing of beauty. Swing is natural loft at double digit homers. You throw him a fastball, he's gonna hit it. 320, 403, 459, 9 homers, 55 stolen bases. I'll repeat that. 55 steals, and it's a good percentage. So I'm looking for him to be a 30-plus contributor in the stolen base department when he comes up as well. Matthew Liberatore is going to be my number six. One of the most advanced prep arms to come out of this draft. He's an exciting guy to follow for sure. His curveball is a plus pitch, 70 grade pitch with depth and 2-plane break. Has a changeup that flashes plus, mid to high 90s fastball. The changeup needs a little bit of work. He has a slider that can get slurvy at times. and a changeup that can be above average, like I mentioned, but it flashes plus, it lacks consistency. But you look at this guy, and I think he's got the tools and ingredients to be a number two starter. He's also a top 100 prospect. Everyone we've touched on so far is a top 100 guy. And next on the list is a top 100 guy on my list. I don't think he made it for Prospects Live, though. Ronaldo Hernandez, catching prospect. And Hernandez is a power-hitting catcher, 284, 339, 494, 21 homers, 7% walk rate, 15.5% K rate. Did all that in low A. Midwest League is a tough league to hit, but Hernandez had a 133 WRC plus as a 21-year-old in the Midwest League. Athletic build behind the plate, plus throwing arm. Needs to work on the game calling, the defensive overall, pitch framing, all that stuff. But it's a little rough around the edges, but I think he eventually has enough to stick. He's the bat's going to carry the profile for him always, but he did make some improvements on defense. So it's not a, you know, he has enough to stick behind the plate. Brandon Lau is the next guy, second base outfielder guy, one at bat away from not being on this list. One at bat from prospect eligibility. Second base outfield, like I said, won the Florida State League MVP in 2017. Last year in the minors, had 297, 391, 558 with 22 homers, 8 stolen bases, 23% K rate, 13% walk rate. Again, we're sensing a theme, right? Complete offensive players with really good plate skills. There's still a few more of these guys. This system is just loaded. But Lau, as a hitter, is the sum of his whole parts, man. Above average plate skills, again, make everything play up. He's in double A, triple A. He ended up getting a major league cup of coffee. He struck out 25% of the time in the big leagues, though, but he did walk 10.8%. He still hit 6 homers, 233, 324, 450 line in the big leagues. He's a guy to get in redraft this year because I think he's going to play a lot. Let's see who else we got here. Brendan McKay. Full disclosure, for fantasy, I am not in on Brendan McKay. And there's a couple reasons why on this. And I kind of talked myself into not being – I talked myself into being all about him on a real-life list because, I mean, potential 2 roster spots, right, at an above-average level. But the thing with McKay right now, he was in high A this year, which – he dominated as a pitcher, 2.41 ERA, 1.94 WHIP, 11.8 Ks per nine, 1.6 walks per nine. If you go strictly as a pitcher, McKay's probably in AAA this year, probably already hit AAA. The bat, though, 214 hitter, 368 OBP, 359 slugging percentage. So he needs to hit for more power. He was billed as a very impressive power hitter when he was in school at Louisville. If he's not hitting, he's already in AAA, just because, you know, he's a safe back end, probably number 4 starter. He's a borderline top 100 prospect just as a pitcher, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And when you factor in the bat, which 116 WRC plus, really good play skills, 18% walk rate, like I said, 21.5 K rate. He doesn't hit for the power he's supposed to hit. He does hit the ball on the ground a lot. Doesn't get consistent reps because when he pitches, he doesn't bat. He does DH a couple times a week. He's still on that minor league or still on that collegiate schedule, though. He's only pitching one day a week for the Rays. That's how they've had it since he's entered pro ball, and he's still doing it now. I just think in fantasy there's way too much to gamble on here because what's the best case scenario here? He pitches once a week and then DHs 3 days a week?
Mm-hmm.
And you can always find a better spot for the utility role, right? He's not going to have a bat to put. You can't put him at first because he's not going to play first every day, right? If he still has that eligibility for fantasy, you can't use him at first base. He's only going to play 3 days a week. And if you want him as a pitcher on your fantasy squad, he's never going to have a 2-star week. You get what I'm saying here?
It's going to be really frustrating, though, in the same way that Shohei Ohtani was this year.
Right, and we nailed that. We talked about Ohtani and all the hazards going with it, and we summed that up pretty well. And I see this coming with McKay, so I'm just avoiding him in fantasy, flat out. I think on a real-life list, I think he's an easy top 50 guy, in my opinion, because he's 2 above-average roster spots. And the way that the player we just described is still extremely valuable to the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
But I, from fantasy, I'll let someone else deal with that. It seems like a headache I don't want to deal with. And I think you're
He's very format dependent.
Extremely. Right. And in some leagues, you can only roster him as a pitcher or a hitter, and then you don't want him at all. No.
Or in a weekly league, what are you going to, you're only going to get to roster him as a hitter or a pitcher each week. So what happens league, if
you want those five, 6 innings?
It's, right. You know, it's going to be super frustrating. In a daily moves league, he becomes a little bit more interesting, but he doesn't have like the high upside. Like the thing about Ohtani is Ohtani's got
number one starter in the game upside.
Yeah, right. and a guy who can hit bombs.
Yep, 100%.
Like I'm down on Ohtani for this year, but I've made no bones about it. If he's healthy and looks good coming in next year, he's my number one player in daily moves formats.
Yeah, so, he definitely is.
You know, I mean, but McKay doesn't have that kind of upside in terms of, you know, hitting or pitching.
And not to get on the Ohtani subject too much, but I think this is the year to trade for him.
I'm trying Dynasty. Right now. I'm trying
because if you can get him in, like, I'm not advocating for a specific platform, but if, say you play in Fantrax where you can use him in both, he's the number one player. I don't think I think he's the number one pick.
Like. Yeah.
Because he can do everything at an above-average level. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Next guy in this list, Shane Baz. Got him from in the Chris Archer heist, because I say heist because that was legit fleecing. Baz, Meadows, and Glasnow for Archer. I think if we fast-forward a year and a half from now, Archer's the least valuable asset of these four, and I don't think it's close.
Wow.
Baz is an athletic delivery kid out of Pittsburgh. Well, Pittsburgh system, 93-95 on the fastball with life, hard slider, 87 to 89 miles an hour, 78 mile an hour curveball, 83 mile an hour changeup. I don't know. Getting him in this deal was, I think everyone already thought with Glasnow and Meadows, I think everyone was giving the win to Tampa. But then they get Baz. He was a first round pick. Like, it's nuts. I don't know why that he wasn't even in that trade. Shane McClanahan, a guy at University of South Florida, was the Rays' another first-round pick for them this year. I really like him. I think there's a lot of reliever risk. I think he could start. I'm in the minority there. Prospects Live, everyone else thinks he can. Thinks he's a reliever. I think he's a start. And no, he's not the 100-mile-an-hour guy. He hit 100 miles an hour one start, and it was the first start of the year for South Florida. After that, he was 93, 94. The stuff ticked down. The delivery kind of sucks. It needs to be repeated better. It needs to throw more strikes. But that opens up this window with the Rays. What does that sound like to you, right? Perfect candidate to be an opener, right? Yeah. So, I mean, there's also that. And I'm not even going to pretend to be able to assess his value as an opener because that adds a lot of wrinkles that I don't even know if we can value correctly. But I think he's fantasy relevant, so that's why he's here. Lucius Fox. All glove, shortstop, but again, you know how I feel about those players. Give them enough of a leash, they can
fast
contribute.
Too,
and
though, isn't he?
And he's fine. Yep. And you beat me to it. And he can contribute in the stolen base department. I think whatever you value Cole Tucker as, Lucius Fox should be around there too. Really good glove, really good athlete. Fox is going to develop more power, I think. But that might slow him down. So a double edged sword on that.
Nick Sola. He was part of the Matt Duffy trade, I think, right?
Yep, Giants. Yes, sir. Got that. He'd be the number four guy if he was still a Giant, in case you're wondering.
Thanks.
Nick Solak. What are we, a half hour into this podcast? And we get to the Giants number four? Yeah. Nick Solak, former Yankee second baseman, kind of playing a little bit outfield corners for the Rays. This dude flat out hits. Moises Gomez, same kind of guy. Nick Schnell, the guy from this draft, I like him a lot. Alejandro PA was a J2 signing that I like, a little slash and dash speed center field kind of guy. Another guy, in case you thought, you know, the Rays were done with interesting guys, Tanner Dodson. Why is he here? He's a first-year player draft guy that I flagged on here. Right-handed pitcher and an outfielder. So the Rays are going full all-in on this two-way player stuff and going to try to develop Dodson as a two-way guy. So in case you thought evaluating prospects is hard enough, if they get to add these wrinkles that are real easy to – it makes it a lot, way more difficult. But this system is loaded, has the top-end guy in Wander Franco, has the guy, the premium arm in Honeywell. The one nitpick is they don't have a lot of high upside arms. It's more, but it's also bats. So I think we'll take the bats, but you like a nice mix. But imagine them and the Braves making a couple of trades and building a super system. That'd be fun.
I don't think that's happening anytime soon. No. But it's definitely two fun systems to do back-to-back for us.
Yeah, it's better than some of the slog we had in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And some of the slog we're going to have coming up.
Yeah.
So, what are you working on over at Prospects Live?
Top 100 list completed. We have list season going on over there. We're going to have Dynasty Ranks coming out soon. We're going to have our position previews over here on FWFB. The draft guide is a continuous update. I think me and you will be updating that as the season goes.
Yep, I just got an article to the Sonny Gray trade. Brent Brown put or just sent me his update for that.
This is a weird trade. He got an extension out of it, too. So good for Sonny Gray.
Yeah, because like I've said it, I think Sonny Gray's done.
I don't want to go that far, but I do think if he doesn't have a good year this year, he's done. Because now you're bringing back his pitching coach at Vanderbilt.
Could he have been put in a worse situation than Cincinnati in Great America Ballpark? A dude with a 50% fly ball rate.
Well, here's another question for you. He's their fucking ace on the Reds.
Yeah, no, this is I don't
hey, they're contenders though. So.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I really don't.
They're them and the Rockies and the Rangers. Three teams I can't get a read on for anything.
But. Well, the Rangers just suck. But the Rockies, I don't get why they do what they do. Like they have so many. Like they should be doing exactly what the Reds are doing. Like get every piece you can right now. Because you have a legit shot, you finally got a rotation, just go out and get all the pieces you need to put you over the top in the West. The Reds should just be continuing to do their rebuild, and the Rangers just suck.
Agreed on all counts.
All right, you can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Reach Matt on Twitter at MDTopFWFB. Go get the draft guide. We talked about it at the top, so we don't need to go back into it again. You can read all my stuff at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarms, and hear me on the Sleeper in the Bus, TGFBI podcast, as well, of course, as Friends with Fantasy Benefits. So that's going to do it for us. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.